This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول هيا على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, And he whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is both his servant and his messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, human beings, as being obligated to live in communities and to interact with other people. The human being is drawn to social interaction, to speak, to share, to talk, to interact with other people. Even in our present case, in lockdown, during a pandemic, people are still innately drawn to interaction with other people. We crave that social interaction. It's nearly impossible to live alone in this world, to isolate yourself from all human interaction. Even if you isolate yourself physically, you are still going to be interacting with people, probably online, virtually, buying and selling, talking and building relationships through a virtual world. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. We are social beings and we need social interaction. But mixing amongst the people, dealing with different people, interacting with different people, transacting with different people, causes naturally disagreements and disputes and even hatred and even broken relationships. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعْلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, had your Lord willed, they would have, mankind would have all been one community. But instead they differ with each other. We have disagreements. We have differing. Humans are constantly arguing and differing with one another, except those whom Allah azza wa jalla has shown mercy to. And the hatred and animosity which emerges from disagreements that we have and differences that we have is something that our religion instructs us to remove, to strive our hardest to bring peace between people, to bring love and harmony between people, to bring love and respect to the hearts of our brothers and sisters in Islam, and to be the people who walk the path of bringing peace and reconciliation and rectification between people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions when Musa leaves his brother in charge of the people, he gives him advice and he tells him, قَالَ يَا مُوسَى قَالَ مُوسَى لِأَخِيهِ هَارُونَ اُخْلُفْنِي فِي قَوْمِي وَأَصْلِحْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. He says to Musa says to his brother Harun, take my place amongst my people, وَأَصْلِحْ, and reconcile between them, and do not follow the ways of the corruptors. Reconcile between them, reform amongst them. And it's as if from the words of Musa, he's saying, either you walk the path of bringing peace and reconciliation between people, or you walk the path of corruption between people. And so the position of reconciling between people, of striving to remove hatred and animosity between them, this is a role that is so beautiful, a position that is so beautiful, so necessary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself assumes this role. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us a story about the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment, the day of severe distress. يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. The day where the pregnant woman will abort her child out of her fear. The day where the mother will abandon the baby she is nursing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us this story. Anas ibn Malik narrates, they were sitting amongst the Prophet, and the Prophet began laughing. So Umar ibn Khattab said to the Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, ما أضحكك? What has caused you to laugh? Why are you laughing? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, رجلان من أمتي جثيا بين يدي رب العزة. He said, two men from my ummah will be kneeling in front of the Lord of all glory. Meaning on the Day of Judgment, there will be two people kneeling in front of Allah, awaiting the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا يَا رَبْ خُذْنِي مَظْلَمَةً مِنْ أَخِي. One of them will ask Allah, He will say, "Oh Allah, give me my rights from my brother." Meaning in the dunya, my brother took my rights. He took my dunya. He oppressed me. He hurt me. He harmed me. He stole from me. He will say, "Oh Allah, give me my rights from my brother." And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to this man, and he tells him, فَكَيْفَ تَصْنِعُ بِأَخِيكَ وَلَمْ يَبْقَى مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ شَيْءٍ. Allah will say to the man, "What are you going to do to your brother?" And he will have no hasanat, no good deeds left. Meaning, if I give you his right, your rights from him, I'm taking all of his good deeds away from him and giving it to you. So the man said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ يَا رَبْ فَلْيَحْمِلْ مِنْ أَوْزَارِي. He says, "Oh Allah, and let him take my sins too." Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, have some empathy for your brother. If I give you your rights from him, I will take away all of his good deeds. He will have zero. So what does the man say to Allah? The man says, "Not only give me all his good deeds, but give him my sins too." And when the Prophet said this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he's narrating the story, tears began to swell in the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he began to cry and to weep. And he said to the Sahaba, when he said this point, he said, "Inna dhaka yawm yahtaju an-nasu an yuhmal 'anhum min awzarihim." He said, "That is going to be a day," meaning a day so terrifying and so terrible, that people will need others to assume their sins. The sins that we do in this world that we don't even think about. The sins that we do when we say, "Who cares? Allah is forgiving, who cares?" And we do these sins. The Prophet says on that day people will be in need, searching for other people to take their sins, looking for other people to pin their sins upon. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to this man, and he tells him, اِرْفَعَ رَأْسَكَ فَانْظُرْ فِي الْجِنَانِ. He tells him, "Raise your head and look at paradise. Look at the gardens of paradise." And Allah allows the man to see Jannah, to see the gardens of paradise. And the man sees it, and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ya Rabb, ara mada'in min dhahab, wa qusur min dhahab." He says, "Oh Allah, I see cities of gold, and I see castles of gold that are decorated with pearls." He says to Allah, لِأَيِّ نَبِيٍ هَذَا لِأَيِّ صِدِّيقٍ هَذَا لِأَيِّ شَهِيدٍ هَذَا. He says, "Oh Allah, to which prophet does this belong to? To which truthful person does this belong to? To which shaheed, martyr, does this belong to?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, "هَذَا لِمَنْ أَعْطَ الثَّمَنْ." He says, "No, this will be given to the person who pays a price for it." And then Allah, and then the man says, "And who can own this? Who can pay a price to own this?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the man, "You can own it." The man says, "بِأَيِّ ثَمَنْ, with what am I paying to own this?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells this man, "قَالَ بِعَفْوُكَ عَنْ أَخِيكَ." It is with your forgiveness for your brother. By you forgiving your brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you this jannat, will give you these castles with gold. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you these cities of gold. And so the man says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ya Rabb, قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ." "Oh Allah, I've forgiven him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, "فَخُذْ بِيَدِي أَخِيكَ." Take the hand of your brother, and both of you enter into Jannah. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings reconciliation between two people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings peace between two people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam concludes this hadith by saying, اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنَكُمْ. He says, "Fear Allah and amend the relationships between you." فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُصْلِحُ بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. For indeed Allah Himself amends the relationship between the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, full of His glory and His honor, tries to reconcile and amend the relationship between people. What can be more honorable and more beautiful than a deed that Allah Azza wa Jalla and His messengers both acted upon? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. He said, there is no good in most of their conversations. Most of the private conversations that people have, Allah says there's no good in it. إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ, except the one who enjoins others to give sadaqah or to do good, أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, or to rectify and reconcile the relationships between people. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, and whoever does this seeking the pleasure of his Lord, فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, then we will indeed give that person a great reward. Subhanallah. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in front of the companions, he said to them, shall I inform you about what is greater than salah and siyam and sadaqah? Now what the Prophet means here is the salah that is not a farida, not an obligation. The siyam that is not an obligation. The charity that is not an obligation. He said to the companions, shall I tell you what is better than prayer and fasting and sadaqah? They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, ألا أخبركم على أفضل من درجاتكم صلاة وصيام وصدقة؟ قالوا بلى يا رسول الله. قال إصلاح ذات البين. He said to amend the relationships between believers, to amend the relationship and reconcile the relationship between others. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فإن فساد ذات البين هي الحالقة. He said, indeed, the corruption of the relationship between people, it is al-haliqa, it is the razor. Then the Prophet said, he said, لا أقول أنها تحلق الشعر ولكنها تحلق الدين. He said, I'm not saying it is the razor like the one that cuts your hair. No, it is the razor like the one that cuts your religion. It cuts the deen, it shaves the deen off. And this is really important to think about. What causes people to curse each other? What causes them to insult each other? What causes them to oppress one another? What causes them to steal the wealth of each other? What causes them to take the rights of one another, or even to spill the blood of each other? Is it not because of the corruption, the ruining of relationships between people? This is what takes away the person's deen. And this is why the act of reconciling relationships is one of the greatest acts of our religion. How much evil is prevented? How much harm is averted when a person reconciles between two who are fighting or have ill feelings between each other? And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa bil kadhab." He is not a liar. Man aslaha bayna an-nas faqala khayran aw numiya khayr. He said he is not a liar, the one who is rectifying the relationships between people, so he says good or he exaggerates good. To omit evil. I know that this brother said something negative about this brother. I omit it, I don't say it. But I say that this brother thinks good about you. Even if that good he thinks about is very small, I exaggerate it and make it seem bigger. The Prophet said, "Laysa bikadhab." This person is not a liar. Why? Because the maslaha, the benefit he's trying to achieve of bringing love between two people, is an incredibly honorable maslaha in our deen. The scholars said Allah hates truthful speech that intends corruption. And He loves the lie that intends peace and reconciliation. If I hear with my own ears one brother saying something negative about another brother, I know 100% it's truth. I heard it. For me to take that word and deliver it to him, knowing that's going to cause corruption. This is haram in our religion. And if I know there's two animosity between two people, and I go to them and I say good things that maybe didn't even exist, and I say, he thinks good about you, and I say to the other one, he thinks good about you, and maybe they never said anything good about each other. But you say it to create love and harmony between them. Allah loves it, even though it's not necessarily the truth. Because our religion wants us to build peace and harmony between one another. And this type of obligation is incredibly important. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam assumed it in his life. Once the Prophet was sitting in the masjid, and the people came to him and they said, the people of Quba, a place outside of Medina at that time, were fighting each other to the point they were throwing stones at each other. What did the Prophet say? Immediately he got up. He said to the Sahaba, اِذْهَبُوا بِنَا لِنُصْلِحْ بَيْنَهُمْ. Let's go right now and try to rectify between them. Try to bring peace between them. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do what many of us do. When we hear two groups are fighting, what do about it? We gossip about it. We talk about it. We spread the news of it to other people. But few of us try to go and reconcile. Try to put in the work to try to bring peace between people. The Prophet got up right away and went. And then the time of prayer came. Bilal came and the Prophet wasn't there yet. They said, what do we do? He said to Abu Bakr, lead the prayer. Abu Bakr said, okay. So he began to lead the prayer. And the Prophet came in the middle of the prayer and walked up to the rows, to the front row. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, realizing the Prophet was there, hearing the commotion, knowing the Prophet was there, he retreated back to the saf. And the Prophet led the prayer. And then the Prophet said to Abu Bakr after the prayer, why did you retreat back? And Abu Bakr said, it is not befitting for Ibn Abi Quhafa, for himself, the son of Al-Quhafa, to lead the prayer. And the Prophet is behind him. And so he refused to lead the prayer, except that the Prophet did. But look at the Prophet's energy in going and rectifying between them. We know the Prophet ﷺ, once he entered the house of Fatima radiallahu anha, at a time where people would sleep, the time of the afternoon where they would sleep. The Prophet came and Ali radiallahu anhu wasn't there. He said, where is your cousin? Meaning, where is Ali? She said, we had an argument, he got upset and he left. The Prophet said, where is he? And he went out looking for him. And he found him in the masjid. And he was sleeping in the masjid. And he was sleeping, you know, when you sleep, you churn on both sides. So he was churning on both sides. So both of his shoulders were full of dust. Because the masjid was not carpeted, it was dust. So the Prophet ﷺ sees him. And he says, قُمْ يَا أَبَا تُرَابِ. Stand up, O Abu Turab, O father of dirt, of dust, because he has dust all over him. But the point of it is, the Prophet ﷺ, when he hears there's a problem happening, immediately he goes to bring Ali radiallahu anhu back to reconcile between them. Some fathers, if they hear their daughter complaining about their husband, they sit with her and make her more angry. And your husband is this and your husband is that. And they increase the anger between them. And they increase the animosity between them. The Prophet doesn't do this. He goes immediately. Where is Ali? Let me find him. Let me bring them. Let me reconcile and find love and peace between them. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. As we are about to, inshallah, in a few weeks, may Allah Azza wa Jal give us life to achieve it, enter, inshallah, into the month of Ramadan. And this is a month of blessings and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we know from our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the doors of Jannah are open every Monday and Thursday. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these days forgives those who have not associated in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said, إِلَّا رَجُلَانِ, except for two people, who there is animosity and rancor between each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, wait upon them, wait upon them. Give everyone else forgiveness, but these two wait. Wait until they rectify their problems between one another. This shows us that the forgiveness of Allah is delayed or prevented when we cannot forgive one another. And so as we enter into this month, it's incredibly important for us to clear our hearts from any rancor, animosity we might have towards our brothers and sisters in Islam. And if we see others with animosity in their hearts or ill feelings towards each other, to try to rectify those feelings. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, مَنْ أَصْلَحَ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنَ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ كَلِمَةٍ عِتْقٍ. He said that whoever tries to rectify between two people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give